All right, you are listening to Corey's Courtside, and I'm your host, Corey Mayweather, CJ Mayweather. I don't know what I'm going to go by so far in my career. Whichever one sounds better, you let me know. Find me on my Twitter at Poppy_Corey. Don't mind the radio station and the DJ thing in the bio. I am very, very in tune with sports. Matter of fact, that is my first love. And I think I'm about to give up the radio thing and go full throttle with the sports thing. But man, you know what we talking about today if you read the title. I just got through watching it. I'm hop right into the studio when I'm recording it. Man, that was a hell of a game. Duke and Wisconsin went at it. That was a great game. It was an all-time classic. And this is why I be telling people March Madness, college basketball is better than NBA and really any other sport out there, because it never, ever, ever not live up to the hype that it brings, and it always deliver. I'm talking last year when UConn came out of nowhere and they put the stamp on he's the best player in college. Then the year before that, Trey Burke into the tourney with reckless abandon. And man, it always lives up to the hype, and this year was no different. But we're going to start this podcast off actually talking about the entire tournament. The tournament, great. From starting with the 68 teams was great. I'm going to start with the first game, Kentucky versus Hampton. I have to say, Kentucky demolished Hampton, but Hampton has a victory out of every other team in the tournament. Hampton has the baddest cheerleaders in out of every cheerleader squad in the entire tourney. They have very tight competition with Duke, though, I must add. But I have to give the edge to Hampton just because Duke just won the national championship. Well, I said I wanted to talk about the entire tourney, but I really want to get to this championship game. But I can't get to that without letting you know that I did three brackets. One of my brackets, my final four, was perfect, with Wisconsin playing Kentucky and Michigan State doing the upset thing and getting towards Duke. I had that. And the final decision on that tourney bracket, I had Duke beating Michigan State in a close game and Kentucky beating Wisconsin in a very close game. And if you know basketball, you know I lost that because Duke beat Michigan State by 20 with the guards putting on an incredible performance, and Wisconsin beat Kentucky in the nail biter, and which one was one of the best games of the tourney, which had everybody, you know, kind of holding their breath on Wisconsin versus Duke, because the Wisconsin versus Kentucky game looked like it would be game of the tournament because they was going at it. But all in all, you know, Wisconsin came out on top, which I must add that I said I made three brackets, and one of my brackets I had Wisconsin win it at all. So that has to count for something. Look, this is why I hail Wisconsin so high, because their offensive efficiency percentage is incredible. I think they broke a record for it, actually. And like I said today on Twitter, follow my Twitter right now at Poppy_Corey. That's PAPI_CREY. How can you beat a team that doesn't make mistakes? It's very, very hard, and it's very close to impossible. And that's why Duke get all of my respect, even though I'm a North Carolina guy myself. But listen, Wisconsin does not make mistakes. They just don't. It was two occasions. It was two games this season where they only had one turnover the entire game. And one of those games, the one turnover came because of a shot clock violation. So when you think about it, they really didn't make a bad play. They really didn't make a turnover. So they rarely ever make mistakes. That's why I had to make, cause I told myself this year I was going to make one bracket, but I just couldn't, I had to make three because I made the first one and it was a little fishy to me because I was like, wait a minute. I never, ever, ever in the history of me making any bracket ever had all four number ones in the Final Four. And that's how my final bracket came out. So I didn't like it. So I made the second bracket and I had Wisconsin winning it all because I knew if any team was to beat Kentucky, which was very, you had to be very convinced that a team can beat Kentucky because they was 10 men deep. They had platoons. You know, this year they did the white platoon and the blue platoon thing where they actually had two starting five lineups and the second starting five can go up against any team in the country with Tyler Ulis running the show. And they were just so deep. I really didn't think that their opponents can outlast them because fatigue kicks in basketball and it's a big part of basketball. And I just thought that the depth of Kentucky would take them far enough to win a championship this year. And I was obviously wrong and I have to admit it, but I just didn't see it happening. Let's talk about Kentucky losing for a second. They were on the road to make history to be one of the only teams, one of the few teams to win a national championship without losing. They did make history with the most wins in college basketball history with, I think, 30-something. I'm not going to be wrong. But, yeah, they did make history with the most wins in college basketball history. But when they did lose a very good fought game, everybody had their respect. Nobody lost respect for that Kentucky team until the post-game media conference, you know, and they asked the players of Kentucky, what do they feel about Frank Kaminsky and his skill set, which is, I can agree, is not a question you ask kids after a game, but it's no excuse for Andrew Harris's response. And I don't want to say it on this podcast. Actually, I can't say it on this podcast because I can't curse. Because when they asked that, Andrew Harrison said under his breath with his hands over his mouth, F that N-word, you know, and that was just plain old stupid. Like, how dumb can you be? Like, why would you even do that? Why would you come off as that type of person? I know you're bitter about your loss. You have to be just as good of a loser as you are a winner in life, period. So I know Calipari had a lot to say to that guy about his stupid actions. Carl Anthony Towns went on to give Kaminsky his props, but all the focus was on Andrew Harrison making that stupid, dumb remark. And it was just saddening to see that that kid can't lose. I mean, come on. Why? What's the logic in that? It was just so stupid. So with that being said, I think everyone in the country was happy that Wisconsin went on to beat Kentucky because of that one player not knowing how to lose like a man and being a sore loser. And so Kentucky loses their perfect season is no more. Wisconsin go on to play Duke. Now, like I said, I made three brackets. Two of those brackets I had Kentucky winning all. One of those I had Wisconsin. Both of those, well, I'll say all three of those brackets, I had Duke in a championship, but none of them I even thought twice about them winning the championship. Now, deep down inside, that may have something to do with me being a Tar Heels fan, but all in all, I say Duke was not the team that they was in this tournament all season long. So I think they surprised a lot of people of how great they came together. And not to mention one player throughout the entire tournament that put this team on an entire another level, Justice Winslow. All through the tournament, I was saying, you don't have no justice on your team. That's why you win slow. Yeah, that's a Kanye West reference. You probably don't know about that. But look, Justice Winslow made this team a whole different type of team. They made them like on a Kentucky level because they were so deep. And with that one player, Justice Winslow, they got so much out of him. They got points, rebounds, steals, blocks. I mean, defense, he did it all throughout the entire tournament, and that was not him all season. I remember seeing him play earlier in the season, and I was telling my friends, I was like, man, everybody looking at Jahlil Okafor and Tyus Jones for Duke, but I watched the ACC and they got this black kid that balls on their team. And it came to my attention in the tournament. That's that black kid I was talking about because he balls. Matter of fact, this tournament was the best he's played all season. That's why I say he took them on another level. Justice Winslow wasn't this good all year. He only led his team in points in a game twice during this season. And I think he led them in points six times in the tournament. That is a big deal. He made big plays throughout the entire tournament. Sometimes he'll get a little too turned up and he'll take some bad shots here or there. But you love that in a player because it seems like he never got nervous. He embraced the moment. And I think it really, really started when they went to Houston. And that's his hometown. And his family was there greeting the team with cookies. And they was all sitting in this one crowded area and right next to Jahlil Okafor family right there by the goal. You know, Duke played on the offensive end of the court. That's where the fans were sitting on the second half of the game. And that's when Justice Winslow would just hit big shots and look over there the entire second half of the game. And he'll just turn up. And when they got to Houston, he was a completely different player all season long. He was just under the radar. Now comes the tournament, people comparing him to a James Harden, a guy that can get it done left-handed and can do everything on the floor. He can guard from a point guard to a power forward, and he can guard them well. He wasn't so good in this last championship game. Matter of fact, he was great in his last championship game, but he wasn't the big playmaker with the points. He made big plays with the rebounds. I was paying a lot of attention to him this game because every game it seems like he'll make the right play at the right time, and it'd be crucial. And he did it this game. It wasn't with the points, though. It was with the rebounds. But the player that did do it with the points this game, another surprise. Matter of fact, he was under the radar all season long. He only averaged 4 points per game. He had 18 points in the last six games and has 16 points tonight in the national championship game. I'm talking about Grayson Allen. Came up big time for Duke, because if you didn't watch the game, Duke got in foul trouble with Jahlil Okafor and Justice Winslow getting three fouls early in the second half. They got down 9 points, and that was the biggest deficit they faced throughout the entire tournament this year. And unlikely hero emerged out of Grayson Allen, and he put it on the line. He put it all on the line and showed Coach K, this is why you brought me to Duke. This is why I was one of the first commits from all the freshmen you got on this team. This is why you love me. He was hitting threes. He was driving to the basket, getting a foul. He scored 6 straight points, like I said, after they came down 9 points. You know, Wisconsin was going on a run, and then this guy, Grayson Allen, comes out of nowhere and give them a great lift. And like I said, Jahlil Okafor, he did enough, but he was in foul trouble. I mean, when they came out the gate, he scored 6 points in the first a little over 9 minutes. So he was playing great. Looked like he was going to be aggressive for the entire game, but he got in that foul trouble. And I just want to state, every time I watch Duke in this tournament, every time, like, if they played a team where if Jahlil Okafor dominated, they would definitely win. Jahlil Okafor could not stay out of foul trouble. It got me wondering, can Jahlil Okafor play defense without fouling? And I don't want to talk negative on Duke today. They played great, great basketball. And they played a team, like I said earlier, Wisconsin, a great team that doesn't make mistakes. One of the best teams I ever seen, like, that plays with great teamwork and plays great basketball. I told my guy, I was like, man, Wisconsin is like the college Spurs. They just play the game how it's supposed to be played. And I think their downfall came with their second best player on the team. You know, Frank the Tank, Frank Kaminsky, AP player of the year. He's their best player. He did his thing, you know. He showed up, but he was just a little too passive. I'll get to that in a minute. But their second best player on the team did not have such a good game. You know, he was there for the second chance points, played a little bit of defense, but offensively, Sam Decker was not there. He came out, shot a 3 air ball. He wasn't attacking the rim like he should have. He shot two air balls in a game from three. He had got hurt at one point, had to sit down for a little while. He just wasn't there for him. So they had to bring in guys off the bench that plays, but wouldn't usually see them in the big situations like in a game where Duke is cutting down a lead and you need them big buckets. That's usually what Sam Decker come in at, because like I said, Frank Kaminsky, he was passive this game. And to be honest, this was Frank Kaminsky game. This could have been his, you know, a huge game for him. Cause let me tell you why. They brought Frank Kaminsky out to the 3-point line, setting screens, dishing him the ball back. Everyone knows Frank Kaminsky got the shot. He's shooting 54% from 3-pointers, 22 points a game, 8 rebounds. So when he running the pick and roll and he gets the ball, when he pumps fakes, he putting Jahlil Okafor in a bad position, because Jahlil Okafor is going to go for the fake. He's going to bite on it, or he's not, but he still got to run out and play defense. And Kaminsky, I think he has the upper hand on the first step of driving to the basket. And if he doesn't bite on it, Frank Kaminsky got a great 3-point shot, which he hit at the beginning of the game. And I thought, oh my goodness, Okafor got it in for him today. But what Frank Kaminsky did was, on the pick and roll, he'll shoulder a pump fake, he'll drive to the basket and dish it, or he'll get the pick and roll and just pass it off. And Wisconsin did not take advantage of the mismatches. You know, everyone knows Duke switches on screens. So I seen a couple times where Quinn Cook was holding Sam Decker and Tyus Jones was holding Sam Decker, or Quinn Cook and Tyus Jones was holding Frank Kaminsky and number 13. I'm sorry, I don't know his name for Wisconsin. He's 6'10". He's a shooter and he's 6'10". He's in a post and he putting Tyus Jones on the block and calling for the ball. And Wisconsin did not take advantage of those switches at all. And I think if they would have just took advantage of those switches, that was mouse in the house. A 6'10 guy bagging up a 6'1 guy. I mean, that's 2 points all day long, maybe even three, because they're going to want to foul. They're going to want to foul. And Frank Kaminsky showing the ball to Jahlil Okafor, he's going to bite on it. You drive to the basket, go for the 2 points. You have to try to score in them positions. And when you're on a pick and roll and Jahlil Okafor doesn't bite, shoot the ball. And matter of fact, Jahlil Okafor was biting, but after he seen Kaminsky wasn't shooting the ball when Jahlil Okafor was in the game, which he only played 12 minutes in the first half and think even less in the second half, Kaminsky, when he didn't bite on the ball, Kaminsky was supposed to shoot every open three he got. I know it's not typical Wisconsin basketball for him to shoot those, but even Bo Ryan said, give the ball to Frank. He needs to be more aggressive, because if you shoot those threes, Okafor know better. He's going to step up because he think this guy's going to hit one of these threes. Now you got him biting on the pump face. Now you going to the basket with a smaller player trying to hold you, someone who is not used to holding a 7-footer. And Frank Kaminsky got the footwork where he can drive the ball, put a spin move on you, go for the 2 points, maybe even get the foul. So this game was really in reach for Wisconsin, but they didn't execute how they should have. Nigel Hayes, he did okay. He didn't really show up. I think he felt a little nervous in the first half, like the entire first half. Wisconsin shot like 2 of 13 from the free throw line in the first half, and they shoot remarkably well from the free throw line. So you could sense some little nerves there. Nigel Hayes hit a couple shots, but he wasn't on his game like he usually does. Quinn Cook did a good job defensively for Duke. I mean, he didn't hit the big shots like he usually does, but he scored on a fast break. But where he really made his impact was on defense, because it didn't matter what size of guy was on him, he had them on lock if they was dribbling the ball. But like I said earlier, when they was posting Quinn Cook up and calling for the ball, you gotta give them the ball. I don't think Quinn Cook could have stopped that, but they didn't pass the ball. So they had Quinn Cook looking like defensive player of the year, not passing them the ball. And most of everybody out of the game, Tyus Jones was the hero of the game. Because like I said earlier, you know, Duke was down 9 early in the second half. Matter of fact, it wasn't even that early in the second half. The time was going down. They was down 9. Then comes Grayson Allen with the big plays. But post Grayson Allen, It was all Tyus Jones from there. Tyus Jones scored 23 points in the game. 19 came in the second half. Now, what I want you to understand about this second half, it's a Duke team without Jahlil Okafor and Justice Winslow because they're in foul trouble with three fouls. Now, arguably, best two players, not even arguably, they are the best two players on Duke court, and they are out the game. So the entire game plan has switched up, which I give a lot of credit to Jefferson that plays for Duke. He came out, played great defensively on Kaminsky and all, but Tyus Jones doing a pick and roll, shooting the three off the pick and roll with confidence, making them, driving the basket, creating contact, getting to the free throw line. The best free throw shooter in the ACC, I think. Second best free throw shooter in the country, a freshman. So that was automatic points right there. He was just so aggressive, driving to the basket, shooting a three. Even when Jahlil Okafor came back in the game, he used Jahlil as a detour. Cause you know, when you put Tyus Jones and Jahlil Okafor in a pick and roll situation, you have to watch both players. But since Jahlil Okafor wasn't in the game as much, you thinking they trying to feed him a ball. I seen one specific moment where the game was close. Tyus Jones called for the pick and roll at the top of the key. As soon as Tyus Jones got around Okafor, he shot the three. And when you bring Okafor in, that gives you the opportunity and the will and the confidence that you can shoot the three, because now Jefferson is out. He's a great rebounder, a great player. And Plumlee is out there, a great rebounder, a great player. But they're not Jahlil Okafor. They're not their body down there to have you confident when you come off this pick and roll. You can shoot three. But like I was saying, I seen a play. Tyus Jones called for the pick and roll. He barely got off the pick from Okafor and shot the three because he seen this guy Okafor running towards the basket, and he made it. And when I seen it, I was like, great shot. It was off the dribble. He was kind of off balance, but it was a great shot because you got your guy, your main guy, the man you trust most on this team, the man you knew since you was in third grade and y'all both said y'all was going to play for the same team in college. You guys got the chemistry there. You just shoot the jumper because you know if you miss, your boy got you, and that gave you confidence to knock down the shot. And that was one of the biggest shots of the game. And I want to make comments on what Bo Ryan said after the game, after his team lost. A great team. I can't say it enough. Wisconsin, I seen them winning that game at one point. I didn't tell you you guys this. I was rooting for Duke. I don't know why. I think it's an ACC thing, but I was rooting for Duke. I really wanted Jahlil Okafor, Justice Winslow, Tyus Jones, Quinn Cook. I wanted those guys to win the championship because I don't know. It's just, I guess I picked my poison. I chose those guys. Frank the Tank, he won AP Player of the Year. So I feel he got his trophy. I want those guys to get the trophy. But while I was watching the game, I was like, man, Wisconsin really about to win this game. But Duke pulled it out. But Bo Ryan comments after the game. They asked him how he felt about losing this game because they know he really wanted to win. He questioned the officiating. And I wanted to speak on that. As I am going for Duke and me being not a Duke fan, just rooting for him, I seen what he was talking about. The officials wasn't calling great calls at all. They wasn't calling great calls on both sides of the basketball, on both ends. But I must say, more calls went Duke way than they did Wisconsin. First half, it was looking crazy for Duke because they was calling everything, every foul for them. Every foul against them, rather, getting Wisconsin to the line. Wisconsin just didn't capitalize by making the free throws. But in the second half, it looked like they was officiating more for Duke. And I was getting kind of upset a little bit because it wasn't excessive. I must add that it wasn't excessive, but it was on big plays. And I was getting mad. I was like, I want Duke to win, but I don't want the refs to help them win, you know. And, you know, all in all, I always say refs are a part of the game of any sport. So that's not a big deal to me anymore. I learned to deal with it. And last but not least, Coach K win his fifth championship and his third is in Indiana. Congrats to that guy. All time great. Maybe the best basketball coach ever. You know, I was glad to see those guys win. Man, it was a great game. I don't know what I'm about to watch now because The first round of the NBA playoffs, the only games that be good are the ones that go seven games. And if it's going seven games, it's only slowing the playoffs down. So I don't have any sports to watch until maybe the second round of the NBA playoffs. I'm getting into baseball heavy this year. So I just want you guys to stick around. Check out my blog. You could go check out my blog right now at coreymayweather.blogspot.com. That's coreymayweather.blogspot.com. blogspot.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Poppy_Corey. That's PAPI_CoRey. Stay tuned. Subscribe to this podcast. Subscribe to the blog. More coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your time. I'm Corey Mayweather. I'm CJ Mayweather. Look, I don't even know my name yet. This has been an episode of Corey Courtside. I hope you enjoyed.